Psalm 119. Psalm 119, and what I want to share with you today is you can trust God's word, and the word endures forever. Verse 151. Says, Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are true. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old, thou hast founded them forever. The words have been founded, they've been placed, and they are there forever. And every single one of them is true. There's nothing, there's no promise. There's nothing that God has said that won't come to pass. Everything that he has said will come to pass. And they're absolutely sure. You know, that's almost completely untrue of everything else we have experienced in our lives. All the words people give us, the government gives us, the powers to be give us, everything everybody says doesn't come to pass, or they lie. They just don't do it. And that's why some people find it so difficult when they read the scriptures to really understand that every one of God's words is absolutely coming to pass. And you know, and the way you can teach really people who've never known that before, the way I learned it. You know, you show people the scriptures and you show over thousands of years, God said this and then that came to pass. God said this and that came to pass. And that's the only way you can do it. And it's over multiple individuals who wrote it down. You know, all God's word is his word, but multiple individuals wrote it down over thousands of years. I mean, what are the odds? You know, seriously. Go to verse 53. It says, Consider my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. Plead my cause and deliver me quickly according to thy word. God's word promises that he will deliver, that he will help, that he will bless his people. Go to Matthew chapter 5. In verse 18, it says, For truly or verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law until all be fulfilled. A jot and a tittle are the two smallest markings in Hebrew writing, like the period and the comma. Jesus Christ promised. I saw a fellow on the internet the other day, bless his heart. Yeah, he was the son of a preacher, and I was watching him doing something. And he said, not everything in the Bible is God's word, just the words in red. I thought to myself, oh, God help. This is what the son of the preacher man got. Listen. All of it is God's word. All of it is there for doctrine or reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness. And the words in red, yes, they are the words Jesus said, but they're no more or no less God's word than all the rest of it. It's one gospel, one message that's put together. But Jesus declares here, and if you just want to believe that it's the words in red, that's okay. at this point by me. Just get the point. Jesus said, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass until all be fulfilled. Not one single period or comma is going to drop or be missed. That's how much, Matthew 24. In verse 35, it says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. This is how serious God is about his word and everything that he has to say. Nothing. All heaven and all of the earth will go before this word doesn't come to pass. Go to 1 Peter. I think we got to remind ourselves of this constantly. I remind myself of all the things that God has done for me in my lifetime. I try to remember all the wonderful blessings and all of the miracles, the privileges that he's given to me, because it encourages my heart. When I read these kinds of things, it encourages my heart, gives me strength. In 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse 25, it says, by the word of the Lord, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. This word that we have in our laps, that we read from, that we hear preached unto us, this word is going to endure forever. It's never going to not happen. It's never just going to fade away. There's so many people who through the centuries have tried to get rid of God's word. Kings, remember that one king that Jeremiah, you know, he had the scroll written of by Baruch, and then they sent it to the princes and then to the king, and the king took his knife and cut it up and threw it into the fire. And then God said to Jeremiah, write it down again. It's not good to be that king. There are people who are that arrogant. There are people who treat God's word like it's just another thing. But it's not. It's the word of the Lord that will endure forever, forever. And it's the gospel that's preached unto you. Go to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 8. In verse 56, it says, blessed be Yahweh that hath given rest unto his people, Israel, according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word and all his good promises, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. The king, they just acknowledged there's not one word that's failed. According to everything that Moses promised us, it's coming to pass. Do you have that steadfastness in your heart to understand? Do you know that no matter what goes on around us, and some of the things that go on around us are hideous, you know, but not one word is going to fall to the ground. And when all of the chips are counted, you're going to understand everything that God promised you is coming to pass. Now, there are a lot of people who don't know the promises. They don't know what the promises are. And there's a lot of people who make up promises that God never made. because they don't read scripture. Now, when they take things out of context, it's important to know what the word says, what God has promised, and not add to it, subtract from it, or anything like that. You know, you can't make up the rules as you go. It's what he has said. And if you take the things that he has said and you take that to the bank, you can cash that check. In 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 20, it says, "For all the promises of God in him are yea," affirmative, "and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us." All the promises of God are affirmative. And in him, amen. You know what the word amen means? It's not just a pretty little word at the end of a prayer. It's an affirm, so shall it be. That's what amen means. When God says something, amen, so shall it be. All of his promises are that way. Go to, just think about the promise of the Messiah coming, right? We've done this a thousand times. Genesis 3:15 talks about the first time God gives them a promise, a word concerning the coming deliverer, the Messiah. And it's right after the fall of man. I mean, God's immediate reaction is to deliver them from their problem. Genesis 3:15, it says, "And I will put enmity," 14, and Yahweh our Elohim said unto the serpent, "Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all the cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shall thou go, and dust shall thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee," the serpent, "and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." He is going to destroy you, absolutely. He's going to destroy your head. You're going to be absolutely destroyed, and you are going to bruise his heel. You're going to kill him. It's the seed that is going to come to deliver us. First prophecy. And the devil is told, you're going to be on your belly the whole time, eating dust. And you know what? In the kingdom to come, he's on his belly eating dust too. Until he's destroyed. It's the only thing that didn't get better for him. That's the first promise concerning our Lord. Then God again. Now, this is like right at the beginning. Then Abraham gets the promise because he's such a great believer. So Abraham, we're going to look at this in Galatians. Galatians. See, the promise was given to Abraham back in Genesis, but thousands of years later, it's still the focus because that word is true. It is the focus of God dealing with his people. In Galatians, in chapter 3, verse 16, it says, now to Abraham and to his seed were the promises made. And he said, not as to seeds, and to seeds as to many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. When God said to Abraham in Genesis, I'm going to bless you and your seed, it was singular. Everybody's thinking about all Abraham's children. That's what people are thinking about. Oh, Abraham's got Isaac, you know, excuse me, Esau, right? Ishmael and Isaac. And then later on, we have Jacob, and then he's got his kids, right? No, they're all thinking people. You know what God's thinking? One seed, which is Christ. God made a covenant with Abraham and with his seed, which is Christ, singular. They were going to inherit the earth. Abraham, because he believed God, and that promised seed is going to be the other one that is absolutely guaranteed that he'll be there and inherit the earth. In fact, he's going to rule it. Everybody else? Questionable. Everybody else has got to believe like Abraham believed. You have to believe in the God who could raise the dead and believe on his son as the scriptures unfolded. Israel had to believe that there was a promised coming Messiah, the seed. You and I believe that he was that Messiah, the seed, and that God raised him from the dead. And everyone else has got to believe on him, just like Abraham did. To Abraham and to his seed, one singular. See how important the word is? Go ahead, put a little S on it. What does that change? Everything. Nobody else is guaranteed. Abraham and the Messiah. Everyone else has got to meet the cat, what Abraham did, which was he believed. Abraham's no different than us. Abraham was just the first. He's the father of faith. Look at, you keep your finger here, but we're going to go to Hebrews 6. Hebrews 6, verse 14, saying, surely blessed, blessing I will bless thee. Well, go to 13. And when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. when God gave this promise to Abraham, he swore, since there was nobody greater, he swore by himself. I swear to you, me, God. You know, we have people run, when I was a kid running around the street, I swear to God, I swear to God. You know, it's not like my word was going to do anything, but I put God in there. So, you know, not good to do, by the way. But when I was a kid, swear to God, I swear on my mother's grave. She wasn't dead yet, but I swore on it. All these stupid things you used to say when you were a child. Again, words mean something, not much then and not much today anymore. But when you're dealing with God's word, they mean a lot. So when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after that he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Abraham patiently endured, and he obtained that promise. For men swear by the greater, and an oath for a confirmation is to them an end of all strife. In other words, once you've fulfilled that, once you've sworn that, okay, I believe, you know, the contract's good. You know, it's like the people I bought my house from. Had the deed, paid the bill, they signed the paper, the house is mine. It's the end. I don't have to worry about it anymore. It's my responsibility. Wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, he confirmed by an oath. God not only swore by himself, but he confirmed it with an oath, so that you and I, the heirs of the promise, might have absolute peace to know that this is a done deal. His end of the thing is done. Ours, we still have to choose to faithfully endure. He confirmed it by an oath, verse 18, that by two immutable things, two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, he might have strong consolation or encouragement. You and I can have strong encouragement who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into and within the veil. Go back to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 29. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. If you're Christ, if you believe on Christ, that seed which God gave the promise to Abraham, he swore it because he could swear by no greater. He swore by himself. He gave an oath. Two immutable things, that we might have the absolute encouragement that these things are coming to pass. You know, if you be Christ, then you are an heir. Now, somebody won the big ticket last week, I think. Everybody in the neighborhood was talking about it. They won $1 billion or something like that. You know, they got the ticket out of the gas station. All right. Bless their heart. And I'm glad somebody got the thing. But $1 billion. How exciting would you be? Could you get a little, you know, Yeah, I wouldn't know what to do with $1 billion, but the point is, I think I'd be a little excited about it, right? I'll just touch. You're an heir of God. You are an heir. You have just been put into the will. You're going to receive every promise, every blessing. You're going to receive eternity, a new body, a new mind. You're going to live, you're going to become immortal and live forever. You're going to have peace and joy. Whatever it is that you want, every heart's desire, no need, forever. Nobody knocking on your door, hey, do you think you could help me out? I can't imagine the guy who got the $1 billion, how many phone calls he's gotten so far. Yeah, the government wins every time, I know. But that's the truth of this life, right? They tell you $1 billion, but they lied. The IRS, that's why they got 80,000 more IRS guys out there. You could use cops, but they want IRS guys. Enough. Second Samuel. I want to show you this. So God made that promise to Abraham, and if we believe like Abraham, we are heirs according to the same promises that he received. In 2 Samuel, in chapter 7, God says to David, in verse 12, it says, when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee. He's talking to David. I'm going to set up your seed after you. Now, remember, it says seed, just one. Everybody's thinking Solomon. Everybody's thinking all the other kings in the line of David. But God said, I'm going to set up a seed. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. And he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he committeth iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men, with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. That seed, that son, is going to be treated, he's going to be my kid. Now, this is a dual thing, right? Because it's partially talking about Solomon, but it's also talking about the Messiah. And then later on in 2 Chronicles, so David gets this promise that he's always going to have a seed, that the Christ is going to come through his line, going to rule. In 2 Chronicles, in chapter 21, things are going bad in this part of the book. In 2 Chronicles 21:7, it says, Howbeit the Lord would not destroy the house of David because of the covenant that he made with David, and as he promised him to give a light to him and to his son forever. Even though the nation and the kings of his children that came after him were worthy to be killed and to be completely obliterated off the face of the earth, God wouldn't do it. They deserved it, but he wouldn't do it because of the covenant that he had made with David. Same thing with Abraham. So many times God wanted to get rid of the children of Israel. Remember in the wilderness, he said to Moses, listen, I'll raise up a whole bunch of rocks to be my children. I want to kill these people. And Moses pleaded with God, just reminded God of the promises that he had made, the covenants that he had made. But people were so evil, had pushed the thing so far, that if it wasn't for the covenant, they would be gone. I think people push it today just as much. Psalm 89. In the 89th Psalm, verse 34. Says, my covenant will I not break, nor after the things that is gone out of my mouth, nor latter the things that is gone out of my lips. Anything that's come out of God's lips, it's coming to pass. Every word. God doesn't take them back. And any covenant that he makes, and covenant is an unbreakable promise. It's an unbreakable promise. Psalm 132. Psalm 132. Look thou upon me and be merciful unto me. As thou usest to do unto those that love my name. 132. Psalm 132, verse 11. I was reading Psalm 119. 132. Come on. Verse 11, the Lord hath sworn in truth unto David that he will not turn from it, for the fruit of his body will I set upon thy throne. And if thy children will keep my covenants and my testimonies that I teach them, their children also shall sit upon the throne forever. God made the promise to David, and nothing's going to change it. Go to Jeremiah 33. Now, here's a book. When you get to Jeremiah and you get to Isaiah, and I believe it's true of Ezekiel also, these prophets that God sent, not one single soul believed what they had to say. When you read these things, it's heartbreaking to think about it, because God goes way overboard. If you'll just turn, I'll deliver you. But they didn't hear. Not a single soul. In the 33rd chapter of Jeremiah, in the middle of, look at what God says to these guys in verse 20. Thus saith Yahweh, if you can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night, that there should be no more day and night in their season, then may also my covenant be broken with David, my servant, that he should not have a son to reign upon the throne, and with the Levites and priests, my ministers. The host of heaven cannot be numbered, neither the sand of the sea measured. So will I multiply the seed of David, my servant, and the Levites that minister unto me. Moreover, my word of the word of Yahweh came to Jeremiah, saying, considerest thou not that this people have spoken, saying, the two families which the Lord hath chosen, he hath even cut them off? Thus they have despised my people, that they should not be no more a nation before them. God said to him, if you can change, I'll tell you this, the only way this is not going to happen, the only way this is not going to happen, the seed, David, going to be a king that's going to come out of him. He's going to reign forever on the throne. The only way this, I'll tell you this, if you can break my covenant of day and night, if you can stop that from happening, then I'll tell you that you can stop my covenant concerning David, my son. And when God said in Genesis 1:1, let there be day, then evening, the day and the evening, the first day, that was a covenant. You know what? The sun's coming up every morning. It's going around and the earth is spinning and it will go down every night. And that's going to continue. I don't care what sci-fi movie you watch or what planet killer you think is coming in from the asteroids or anything else. There's nothing going to stop because you can't stop the day and the night. And I can guarantee you that it will not stop until the Messiah sits on the throne. And I don't know if it stops after that, but at least I know there's nothing going to get in the way of this until that day happens. See, these are unstoppable promises. They're unstoppable. It's not possible for anything to get in the way. You can't get in the way. The prophets can't, the country, the world. Nothing can stop our God from bringing to pass what he says. They didn't stop Jesus coming the first time. And believe me, if you read the book, they tried. They had every child killed that was 2 years old and younger in a certain town. And yet God warned them and they took them into Egypt. Nothing's going to stop our God from doing what he says. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. All his blessings and his love are mine. Every promise in the book is mine. That is the absolute truth. See, the question is, What do you believe? You know, when I talk to people in their moment of need, I just talked to someone who was in, talked on the phone to someone who was in great need. You know, they've been in bed in the hospital for weeks, going to rehab, I guess, starting on Sunday. They're shipping them over to the other side of the building. Point is, you start from scratch, and yet he's got great hope and faith that God's going to give him all the strength that he had. It's going to be a long road. But, you know, he's got all the strength and all the attitude that, yeah, God's going to help me through this. And you got other people when they come into that point where they're really weak and hurting. And will God really forgive me for all the things that I did in my life? And they're not sure. They're not sure. And they're afraid. They're afraid to meet their maker because they don't know exactly what he's going to think. I know exactly what he's going to think. I know exactly what he's going to say and what he's going to judge and what he's going to think. It says in 1 John 1:9, go there for a second. Just so you read it for yourself. 1 John 1:9. Says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Is there any vague words here? Is there any ifs, ands, or buts? Then it's up to you. If you want to have your soul free, if you want to be free, I mean, really free, then you got to grab those words and believe them. When you say, Father, I'm sorry for what I've done, he's faithful and just to forgive it, to cleanse you. God knows how to clean. Cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He means what he says. Says what he means. You know, in John, 1 John chapter 5. Verse 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us. Eternal life. And this life is in his Son. You've got eternal life coming to you if you endure, if you continue to stay faithful. It's yours to have. It's your inheritance. I mean, there is our part of the covenant, I mean, to stay faithful. God's done his thing. Verse 12. He that hath the Son hath life. You confess Jesus Christ as your Lord. You got him. You got life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. There's the difference. Remember we taught John and I'm the good shepherd and I am the door. There's no other way to the Father but by him. Oh, I'm a nice guy. So what? That's a so what. And these things have I written unto you, verse 13. That believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. That is such great confidence. You know, when Jesus Christ walked with his Father, whatever he asked for, he received. If I walk in his steps, that should be my same confidence. Now, I know that there's people that, you shouldn't say that. Whatever you ask for in prayer, you know he hears you. You know that he'll answer your prayers. Well, I'm saying to you, I don't care whether you ever believe it or not. I don't care whether I ever believe it or not. This is what God has said. Now, I would like to get my faith to the point where I absolutely, no doubt about it, whatever he says, that's coming to pass. I'm a human being. I don't get it all perfectly right, but I do know this. God says it in his word. He repeats this many times in his word. He repeats this. If we walk like Christ in John chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, if we walk like him, whatsoever we ask, whatsoever we need, it's ours. It's ours. He hears everything that you got to say. Now, you can deny it. You can talk yourself out of it. You can say, I'm not good enough. That's your problem. I'm serious. I ain't make anybody feel bad or good, but it's your problem. You have to get to the place where you tell yourself, where you demand of your own mind, I don't care what you believe, this is what it says. This is what God says. This is the way it is. Believe it. You got to tell yourself to shut up and believe what the word says. The best thing I know to do, personally, it's the way I did it in my life. I had something real hard like this. He's going to forgive me. It's what it says. You know what? I was free when I talked myself into believing it. But that's what they call the renewed mind. I call it, you got to talk yourself into believing it. Well, speaking in tongues, you know, this is one of the promises of God was the manifestations. You know, the Father's going to send the promise of my Father upon you and you will be baptized. That's one of the promises of God. And yet the whole Christian church has talked themselves out of the promise. Well, I don't care whether you believe it or not. This is what God's word says. This is what's available. This is what it does. Whether you believe it or not. And those that do can manifest it, and those that don't, don't. You follow? Every word of God is coming to pass. There's not one jot, not one tittle that'll fall to the ground until it's all fulfilled. When my Lord and Savior comes back, I won't need to hope anymore. All those words can go away. He's here. It's what he says is true. You read the book. You read the scriptures, you take the promises, you look for the things that you need in your heart and life, you demand faith from yourself based upon the integrity of his word. And if you got a problem, you don't know where the in the book is that there is a promise, or maybe there is a promise, then you come ask me. And I'll try to help you find it. So you grab onto that promise, you put it in your heart, and you just believe it. You got to bring it to, because the battlefield is still here. And sometimes you got to smack it around real good to believe what it says. I don't know if that's a good way to end the teaching, but that's what I had to share. That's what I had to share. Doom, doom. So, Father, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your great mercies and your great grace. I am thankful, Father, for all that you have promised us and all that you have given to us. And we, Father, really do want to believe every single word and not falter. But Father, we're just human beings, and we're doing the best we can, Lord. So help build our faith, build the integrity of your word in our heart, build these precious, wonderful gifts, Father, that you've given, and open our eyes to it. Help us to move your word and raise up a whole new generation to do it, my God. And I bring these prayers before you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.